Let us pray. Oh Lord, you know that left to ourselves, our hearts and our minds are dim, and that we are oftentimes more amused with things that are passing than things that are lasting. And so we pray, O Lord, would you be pleased in this time to feed and nourish our souls with the eternal truths of your word and with the glorious good news in the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we'll continue our series through the birth narrative given to us in Matthew and picking up at verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 at verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 at verse 18. Hear now the word of our God. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we come to a passage in which we are reminded of the reason for why Jesus came. Up until recent times, the church during Christmas time made it very clear why Jesus came. In fact, it was customary that during the Christmas season, there would be sermons on, imagine this during a Christmas series on these topics, you might have a riot against your pastor if he had these sermon topics, but until about 100 years ago or so, this was customary that there would be sermons on death, hell, heaven, and judgment day. In order to remind the people of why Jesus came. And I'm thankful to see that in some corners of the evangelical church there is an attempt to recapture why it is that Jesus came. But it's still a shame that for many people this time of year, there will be a celebration that Jesus is born. They'll sing the Christmas hymns, even as they hear them playing in the stores or on the radio, and yet never have a consideration for why he came. It is a shame, because if you celebrate the coming of Jesus and you do not know why he came, your joy and happiness at this time is limited to mere sentimentalism. But if you know the reason for why Jesus came, then this season is filled with true joy. Because you know your Savior has come. In Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus, he tells us of the struggle that Joseph had, but also of the joy that Joseph had. Joseph and Mary are engaged at this moment that Mary is found to be with child. Now, to be betrothed or engaged in those days meant that when a man asked a woman to marry him and she agreed, that they would be engaged for a year. And during this time, they would not live together. They were not to have sex. Doing so would have been seen as committing adultery, just as we do in our day. However, they did take this engagement time much more seriously than we take our engagement period. In order to break off an engagement, for example, in these days, would have meant that you would actually have to file for divorce. Nowadays, you just take off the ring. But in those days, it was a legal thing you had to go through. Now, you can imagine what Joseph is thinking during this time. My betrothed wife is pregnant. He's going to connect the dots here. I haven't slept with her. Someone did. But she has this story of an angel appearing to her and telling her that the baby in her womb is the Messiah. And that what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She is saying she is going to be the virgin mother of the Messiah. Now, I don't know about you, but as best as I can put myself in Joseph's sandals, I would have maybe been thinking Mary was a bit cuckoo. And you can see that Joseph maybe was thinking that because he doesn't want to make a spectacle of her. Most other husbands probably in that situation probably would have. But he doesn't want to publicly shame her. He wanted to divorce her quietly and secretly. Now, some have speculated that Joseph in part believed Mary, which is also possible. And that Joseph did not want to marry her because he didn't know if he should, because she's the mother of the Messiah. Probably there's a combination of the two within there that Joseph is wrestling with. But whatever the case is, we do see the character of the kind of man that Joseph was. He was a just man, as Matthew tells us. And he certainly loved and cared for Mary. But then the Lord sends an angel to Joseph to tell him that it is okay for him to marry Mary. In fact, he should marry Mary. And he confirms Mary's story so that he knows for certain that what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit and that the child in her womb is the Messiah. And there again, in our text, we see Joseph is a just man because he listens to this angel, knowing that Mary and himself. Think about this now. He and Mary are going to have to go through their entire earthly lives being looked down upon by all in society, being accused of an infidelity they never had, and knowing that their firstborn son would go through life being called illegitimate. And we never hear Joseph saying, let me think about this. He knows what's coming. And yet, Joseph, without any grumbling or mumbling, willingly and joyfully does what the angel tells him to do. Why? How? Because Joseph knew in his heart and in his mind that his joy was not founded on the things of this world, but his joy was founded in the child in Mary's womb. His joy was founded on the Son of God coming down from heaven to earth. He believes that this child in Mary's womb is the long-awaited Messiah. For as we see, Joseph has no problem naming this child Jesus, because Joseph believed that this child, this Jesus, would save him from all of his sins. Would save all of God's people from all of their sins. That all that was prophesied in the Old Testament would come true in Jesus and his life on this earth. Joseph believed that Jesus had come to fulfill Isaiah 53. If you turn with me in your Bibles to that passage, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and as we read through this passage, I want you to pay attention closely to what is prophesied here of what the Messiah would do. Isaiah 53 at verse 1, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Brothers and sisters, this is the reason why Jesus came. He did not come so that we'd have a holiday in the middle of winter. He did not come so we would have cute nativity scenes. Jesus came to save you and me from our sins, from death, and from hell. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Not just do you believe that this is an objective truth, that this is a historical thing that happened almost or over 2,000 years ago now. That the Son of God was born in a cattle shed and laid with swaddling cloths in a manger. You must believe that's objectively true. Even the devil believes that. But do you believe more than that? Do you believe that Jesus came and was born and lived a perfect sinless life in your place and died on that cross in order to interpose his perfect righteous blood in your place to save you? To save you from sin and death and hell. Do you believe that Jesus came and that Jesus came for you? If you do believe that, how much joy do you have over this fact? How much joy do you have? How much joy should you have? Have you allowed the busyness of the season to crowd out the joy that is given to us in Christ? Children, here we go. What would your attitude be if the presents you received were not the ones you wanted? What happens, parents, when your children are not thankful for the presents that you gave them? Suppose, children, a Grinch did live on the top of Big White. Some think there's a Grinch in the congregation. But suppose there was a Grinch that lived on the top of Big White and came the night before Christmas and stole all your presents and stuffed up the tree, up the chimney, and stole all the decorations and even the roast beast. upon finding everything gone, what would you think? What would you feel? It would be okay to be sad for sure, but would you be able to sing like the Who's down in Whoville? For you, does the joy of Christmas come from a store? Or perhaps does it mean a little bit more? After all, brothers and sisters, the prophecy given in Isaiah is fulfilled. Emmanuel has come. And that means God is with us. What was lost in the fall has been regained. We who are lost have been found. You know, at this time of year, there's a lot of warm sentimentality with the idea of coming home for Christmas. Just watch the Hallmark Channel for 10 minutes. Or listen to the secular Christmas songs sung at this time of year. I won't sing them for you now, don't worry. There is something special about coming home for the holidays. And even I would say there's something special about going to your childhood home for the holidays, if you have the opportunity. Or just going to be with close friends or family. There's a sense of belonging, of love shared, of peace, rest, and security. But brothers and sisters, whenever you get sentimental about those things, as I sometimes do, I want you to remember this. That all pales in comparison to the reality of and presence of the one who is Emmanuel, God with us. Brothers and sisters, at this time of year, you must remember that your Lord Jesus came, suffered and died in your place, rose again and ascended into heaven in order to do what? In order to make a home for you with Him forever. God is with us. Let those words sink in. Because without Jesus, that little four-letter word in between, that middle word changes. God against us. But because of Jesus, that word is forever changed to God with us. As the hymn goes, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Christ came. He came to save us from our sins by being our atoning sacrifice, to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Thus we can sing, O tidings of comfort and joy. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. the God of all the universe, has come to you, people of God. God the Son is Jesus, your Savior, to bring you to God and God to you. He is the source of all our joy in this season and in every one that is to come. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your most precious word, in which you reveal to us our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the perfect plan of salvation that you have enacted to take place to save us. Oh, Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is. All our sin and guilt is removed from us. All of our hatred, self-hatred, self-glorying is taken away, and we are given rest. Rest from all our sin. Rest from all of the curse. We are given peace with you, O Lord. And we rest in your divine blessings. We pray, O Lord, that during this Christmas season, with all the busyness and all the desire for traditions and longing for the sentimental things, we pray that those things would never crowd out the sure joy that we have in the coming of our Savior. O Lord, help us to be filled with song this Christmas season, but through the rest of our lives as well, singing the praises of your great and glorious name. For we are saved. We are saved by Jesus. And we get to spend the rest of eternity living in your most glorious presence. Oh Lord, fill our hearts with praise and thanksgiving in believing these true and glorious things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.